You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio. Dan Patrick listeners, thank you.
Thanks again to everybody who supported us on YouTube.
Thank you for following us to YouTube. But now, you need to follow us to Peacock.
More people are able to get Peacock. It's free.
We're firmly in bed with Peacock.
And I'll see you boys over there.
Download the app and watch the show anytime, anywhere, on your schedule.
Okay, you may begin.
Welcome to the Dan Patrick Show.
I love him. I want him to be my son.
Normally hosted by Dan Patrick and the Four Danettes.
Oh, it is. Everybody wants it.
But today, hosted by Jason Smith and Rob Parker.
I love them both.
If you want to catch up on past episodes of the Dan Patrick Show.
Nick Saban said to join us here. Would you like to comment on these nuts?
Download complete episodes of the podcast.
When you said, would you like to comment on these nuts? You are my true hero.
Broadcasting from the Mercedes Man Cave, here's Jason Smith and Rob Parker.
You know, Rob, there's a lot of good things that can come out of finding a new way of life and certain things that are... like I said, happy accidents a little while ago. And one of the things, you know, you and I are doing now, doing the show, is we're doing the shows from home, right? We're fortunate enough to be able to work from home while the pandemic is going on, and not having to fight traffic to go in is always good. I mean, look, we'd be rather back to a normal way of life and having things, you know, how it is. But certain things I would say, okay, you know, hey, doing the show from home is kind of fun because I can stay home, I can see my family in between, and I don't have to, like I said, I don't have to fight traffic, everything. Except for 3 minutes ago when my pulse is still coming down because... You know, look, it's 8 o'clock in the morning, and, you know, I get up, and I come into the office to do the show, and my wife and my daughter are sleeping in, you know, the other side of the house. And my daughter decides, I'm just going to come right in and get right over my shoulder and go, what are you doing? And I she creeps in. I didn't hear because I got the headphones on and everything else. And she creeps, just gets right
you?
Over my shoulder and goes, what are you doing? And I go, ah! So
wow.
I was so scared.
That was funny.
I was so
yeah,
scared.
Because you know why? Seriously, it doesn't matter where you are, circumstance, when something happens you're just not expecting, it doesn't matter where you are. You would say, well, why would you be afraid, right? You're at home, you're doing a radio show. There's nobody there, but you're not expecting your daughter to just come in and you don't hear her. It's a frightening thing because you go, how did she get in here? I granted, you have headphones on. But you didn't hear her. You didn't hear her at all. So it's startling, no doubt.
She was like an astronaut coming, like barely stepping on the floor, just gets right over my shoulder. And it's moments like this where I go, you know, if horror movies were real life, I'd be terrible. I mean, I would see a guy in a hockey mask and go, wah! And then he would kill me and I'd be done. You know, I wouldn't be like the resourceful teenagers, you know, picking up a ceiling fan and hitting them with it and then running out and jumping out the window and figuring out some way to get an explosive that I can blow him up and lure him into a trap. No, I would just yell and go, blah, and then I would die and that would be the end of me. I would not do well in a horror movie.
Like I've always said, that's why you don't see a lot of black people in horror movies, because... First sign of trouble, we're out of there, Jason. It would be like, you know, like Amityville Horror, she turns on the water faucet and blood comes out. And she goes, that's unusual. No, that's not unusual. I'm down the block. I'm out the house. I don't care if I just bought the house. Or it's like the lights aren't working in the basement. She heard something. And it'd be like, yeah, let me go down and see what's going on in the basement where the lights are out. Let's check that out. I just don't think it'll happen.
So you would leave me if something happened like that? Rob,
I'm
I need
out.
Help. Yeah, I'm going. I got to go. I'm sorry. You got your car keys? I'm going to drive to get away from here.
I'm out in 2 seconds. Seriously. Not happening. Not interested in it. Don't want to see a guy in a hockey mask. I'm not trying to see any of that.
Jason Smith, Rob Parker in for Dan and the Danettes today here on the Dan Patrick Show. Happy Friday. I mean, my pulse is just coming down from that now. It's just coming down from because now I have to get back at her over the course of the day. I got to figure out a way to do that because, you know, I can't just let that go. I got to kind of answer it.
Oh, I'm sure you will. You'll figure it out.
But, you know, we got into this a little bit ago and coming off the, you know, day three of the NBA playoffs and seeing the Lakers with the big win over Portland last night. And certainly now the questions for the Blazers, because they get thumped in a game that saw Damian Lillard play most of three quarters and then leave the game with a finger injury, a dislocated finger, index finger on his left hand as he went in for a steal. His status for game three up in the air, even though he does say he's going to play.
And I believe him. You know what I mean? Like, you're in the playoffs. You're going to try unless you really can't play. And thank God the x-rays were negative. But I expect him to play, Jason.
Yeah, look, and all doctors have said, listen, an injury like this, the vast majority of players play the next game as long as it's not the next day. So, and clearly having a day, you know, they'll be able to. And I expect to see him. You know, Terry Stotts said last night, it's kind of up in the air, but I'd be stunned if he didn't play. But as far as the playoffs go, you know, we got into this a little bit with the Lakers and the Clippers a little while ago, is that how confident you feel in teams that we've seen so far in the bubble. And of the three favorites, which are the Clippers, the Lakers, and the Bucks, the one that I see that can solve all their problems the easiest is Milwaukee. Next easiest would be the Clippers, and then third on that list would be the Lakers. You know, Milwaukee lost that game to Orlando, and it was oh my goodness, look at Giannis losing, and then we almost saw the Clippers lose, and the Lakers did lose, but Milwaukee was more of a, hey, you got our attention now. You know, they were in first place all last year. They made it far in the playoffs. Same thing this year. They're expecting to get to the finals. They didn't really play with a sense of urgency in the first game. They took a lot of bad shots. Almost like they were trying to get everything back all at once. And I thought, okay, this is their, okay, we're going to now adjust. And I expect them to win this series in a backdoor sweep. And that's kind of what we saw in game two, was they just got out big on Orlando, and Orlando had no chance. Now, the Clippers, as long as their chemistry continues to progress, they're going to get better as the playoffs go on. They're most vulnerable right now. The Lakers, I don't know how you're going to suddenly find somebody that's going to be consistent in hitting shots all the time. Kyle Kuzma is still an every other game guy, and you
get his name right?
Alex Caruso.
I
don't know about Carl Kuzma, because that I agree with Charles Barkley. I don't know about Carl Kuzma. I need to see more of him, because I don't know who that is. Kyle Kuzma can play a little bit. But, you know, he's still an every other game, every three games kind of guy. And, look, Lakers are going to need somebody to make shots. And unless LeBron decides to go from, okay, I'm the point guard setting everybody up, to now I'm going to take games over, the Lakers are going to continue to struggle.
Yeah, I agree with that order. I do think that people were too quick to jump off the Milwaukee bandwagon because they lost one game or the first game. It happens sometimes, you know, where – you know, for Orlando, and I said this when Orlando won, I said that might be the only game that they win. You know, like it happens a lot where you see a team jump out, win that one game, and then they realize everything had to go right for them just to get that one game, and then the talent is just not up to par for the rest of the games, and Milwaukee did what it had to do. And let's not forget, before the pandemic really hit and everything, Milwaukee was putting together one of the all-time great seasons. You know, just statistically, everything that they were doing, they had the best record in the league. Giannis having another MVP season. I expect him to fully win the MVP off of the numbers that he put up this past year. And they are going to be in the mix. People forget they were up 2-0 on Toronto in the Eastern Conference Finals. They wind up losing the last four. But this is a team that's been together. They don't have all the stars you want, but they have a big star and a lot of good players to go along with them. And when it comes to the Clippers, it's the same thing. I think you're right. As the playoffs go on, they will get better and stronger. But I just think this whole notion that you think the Clippers are going to win every game is just unrealistic. I don't believe for a franchise that has never won anything – and coming together in the first year with adding two star players to a nice nucleus, there's going to be some bumps along the road. But I think when you are honest with yourself as just looking at a basketball team and what it takes, Jason, they have everything you're looking for. They have depth. They're 10 deep. You don't know where the poison's coming from. Lou Will could be a starter on most teams in the NBA. He's coming off the bench. You have a Hall of Fame and a championship-winning coach. You have other coaches who are on the bench who have won championships. I mean, they play defense. I know it hasn't looked like it in the first two games so far.
Well,
but they
not
do
for, not for anybody.
Right? I know, but you're right. Not for anybody. But eventually that's going to creep back in and getting – it's about getting stops, too. You know that in the playoffs. You got to get stops. You get one or two stops in a basket, turns a game around. And the Lakers do have a lot more issues because they've played so poorly for a longer period of time. And yesterday was just what the doctor ordered. But I'm with you. When you look around and look at that team, who's going to be the other guys other than Anthony Davis and LeBron James? And Anthony Davis needs to be big in the fourth quarter, which he just hasn't done for most of this year with the Lakers. The numbers just aren't good enough. And LeBron, can you be more aggressive, not as passive? It's good to get other people involved, but sometimes keep the ball and score yourself. You know why? Because you're better than the guys you're passing to.
You know, how much of what we've seen so far, because we've seen a lot of favorites not play well. The two teams that have played the best so far, I would say, in the bubble are Houston and Miami, who, oh, by the way, the two teams I picked to go to the finals. Just had to get that out there. They were my bubble picks for the finals. But we've seen a lot of teams struggling. You know, we've seen struggles at the top. We don't normally see the three favorites, you know, losing a game, you know, in the first round like this, you know, being down 1-0 or being tied 1-1. How much of it is the fact that, you know, really, you got to take into account that there's no home court advantage. There's no, we're going to intimidate the crap out of you because we're a 1 and you're an 8 and our bench is going to play great at home and we're going to blow the doors off of you as you get used to the playoffs. Teams don't have to worry about that. And I know we've known this coming in, but I think we're seeing that in a big way that, hey, no home court. Teams aren't as intimidated. They're coming out pinning their ears back and the Blazers and the Magic and the Mavericks are saying, hey, you know what? We're just playing them. We're not playing from a deficit because we're a 7 seed. We're an 8 seed, and I think you're seeing a lot of that now that really wasn't taken as much into account. But the home court's a really, really big deal that we're not seeing so far.
No doubt about it. In the NBA, especially that home court, the crowd. You're right. Players off the bench feel way more comfortable playing at home. Matter of fact, we had Kenny Smith on the Odd Couple from TNT, and he said his prediction was one of the D teams, and he wasn't talking about Detroit. He was talking about Dallas or Denver was going to win the NBA Finals. And Chris and I were both blown away that was his pick. And I think that plays into the bubble effect, you know, that going to Staples and trying to win games with the crowd going against you and whatnot, if it was the Lakers or the Clippers, would have been definitely tougher, Jason, than it is now where it's neutral. And if you don't play well, you could wind up losing. It's not the games that you could count on being at home in the NBA, which has always been a part of teams winning championships.
Yeah, and think about that for a second, that we're asking teams to go win a championship when we've also asked them to upset their way of life. I mean, you're doing this in a vacuum, right? Think about this, like when it's like trying to go away to go to college for the first time, and how you adjust to life that first semester. I mean, it's rocky. For me, I was terrible. I think I had a 2-3 GPA. I was barely getting up and going to class because I took 8:30 classes, which was just stupid. I don't know.
Because you had no idea. Yeah, like I was like I when was you're a freshman, dumb. You have no idea. What are you doing? Yeah. Right.
But I was like, oh, I could take 8:30 classes. Oh, class is starting a half hour later than it normally would be for me in high school. I'll take 8:30 classes. And being away from home for the first time was such a huge adjustment. You know, you're doing things on your own for the first time, and no one's telling you when to go to bed. No one's telling you when to study. No one's making sure you get from place to place. You have to do your own laundry. You have to make sure you get food. You're the one in charge of your life, and it's an adjustment, and it takes a while. And, you know, you're just trying to figure out how to go through college, and it's a different experience because their teacher is not spoon-feeding you the notes, and this is what's happening here, and hey, how was the game last night? No, your teacher doesn't give a crap about who you are. They're just there giving you the lesson, and it's an adjustment. And you it's really hard to do that the first time when you've never done it before. And that's kind of what the NBA players are going through here. Guess what? We're going to throw you in quarantine, and it's all going to be in Orlando, and you're going to play in front of no fans, and some of the games are going to be at 10 o'clock in the morning. You know, it's crazy here waking up on the West Coast, you and I getting up at 10 or 10:30, and there's a game in the third quarter already. You know, on a Thursday, you know, not on a Saturday, but it's on like a Thursday. And you're asking the players, hey, you got to win a championship and get through this way as well. And this is why the teams that are deep and the teams that are most mentally sound are going to win the championship. And looking at teams like Houston, who comes in and they know their identity. They know the team they're going to be. We're going to do the small ball thing. And we, you know, so we're going to make this adjustment as easy as possible for us. Or a team like the Heat that comes in is tough and is deep. The Clippers are really deep. So they're going to get used to a little bit. But when you're still trying to figure things out and you're thrown into this entirely new situation, that makes it really, really difficult. So the Lakers' degree of difficulty has gone through the roof here in the bubble as they're still trying to figure out who they were. They had done it before the pandemic, right? They didn't make moves to the trade deadline, but they started beating teams. And look, they had figured it out. It was awesome to watch. They're just machine-like going through teams and winning. But now with the stop and the start again, the Lakers still have to do that on top of now you're doing it in this kind of environment. It's really difficult. You make it much more difficult to win a championship when you're going through that as well.
Going to be interesting. We'll see how it plays out. But your pick, I think, is really out there. I still think in the bottom line, if you were just a regular tournament, single game elimination, maybe I would buy into your pick. But when you still talk about 4 out of 7, I still think it's going to be the Clippers and Milwaukee, and we'll wind up having what we thought we were going to have before the season started. And the bubble stuff will be interesting path, you know, to the championship, Jason. But ultimately, the better teams, the teams that I'm not expecting a fluke team to be in the NBA Finals.
All right, now the most important thing. What was your GPA first semester of college?
It was not good because I failed a class.
Failed?
I failed one class.
Wow,
I failed one class in college, and it was my freshman year, and I didn't understand that you could drop it. It was art appreciation. I sat there and I was like, "What is this? I have no idea. I have no idea what I was. How in the world did I take this class? And why did I know to drop it? Do you know what I mean? Like, I didn't know these things."
Yeah.
So that was Southern Connecticut State University in New Haven.
I thought you were going to tell me you failed like Introduction to Journalism.
No, no. That was at Columbia J School. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that was the big thing, was dropping a class. Like, oh, you mean if I'm failing, I can drop it and then just, you know, take a class during the summer or take another class in the spring? Oh, that was like the big thing that unlocked my potential by the time I got to my junior year. I was like, oh, I'm not doing well, and I'm just going to drop it, and I'll take a class during the summer. Yeah, that's fine. I'm going to do that. Suddenly, my GPA goes up half a point because I drop a class. Not that quitting is the big thing. I don't want you to think that Rob and I are telling you quitting is the option.
No, sometimes not at all.
Sometimes quitting is the option. I mean, just sometimes knowing when you can't make it any better is the big option.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, welcome inside the Dan Patrick Show. Jason Smith, Rob Parker in for Dan and the Danettes today. This is a big song Rob Parker used to listen to, Dancing in the Club. I know that was one of your big cuts, Rob.
What was that?
I said this song was one of your big cuts you would listen to in the club all the time.
Oh, yeah. Those were the days. Studio 54 in the 70s, is that what we're talking about?
Can you make a reference to something that was after 1980 today?
I can't.
One reference to something after 1980?
I live in the past. I know. You know what? I really do, Jason. I am one of those guys. I swear to you. I'm going to admit something to you right now.
Oh, boy.
I still watch Perry Mason every day. Perry Mason.
Wow. Okay.
That's an admission. The show's been off for 40 years, and it's still in black and white, still on reruns. It's on MeTV, and I still watch Perry Mason.
You know there's a new Perry Mason on that just started, right?
Do you know what? Is that on HBO?
Yeah, it's on HBO. It just started.
Have you watched it? Is it good?
No, I haven't, but I know it's on.
Never heard of him.
I mean, but it just started on. I think it started earlier this summer.
Okay, really so quick. One more last thing.
Uh-huh.
Speaking of Perry Mason, you know the Flintstones used to have stars of that day, and they would, you know, change their names over to something to fit the Stone Age. And Perry Mason was on an episode of the Flintstones. Do you know what his name was?
Oh, well, something with Mason Stone. Mason Stone. I don't know. What was it?
Perry Masonary. Perry Mason.
Take that for data.
And Marg Rock. And Marg Rock.
Oh, sure. And Mickey Marble, you know, yes. Baseball player. Oh, sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
There were some good ones.
You got me back in the 60s. Well, Jason Smith, Rob Parker, in for Dan and the Danettes. Joining us now on the hotline, lead Lakers writer for Bleacher Report, Lakers Insider. You can follow him on Twitter at Eric Pincus. It is Eric Pincus. All right, Eric, you need at least a couple good 60s and 70s references now for the next few minutes in our interview.
60s or 70s. Ah, okay. I'll work on it. I was going to go with early 80s, like Florentine Gardens, Palladium Palace, like dance clubs. I was a kid.
Okay.
I remember commercials for Florentine Gardens. I was not old enough to go there. I don't know if it ever existed beyond the 80s, but good times, good times.
Good times indeed. Not good times for the Lakers in the bubble until yesterday. Are they fixed? Are they all right now? Or have they righted the ship? I mean, because the first 9 games in the bubble were stinky, to be nice.
I mean, they beat the Clippers, and then they didn't have to, you know, that was like their goal, and then they didn't have to beat anybody else. They could have just coasted, and so they didn't have any real purpose other than just get in shape. And the Blazers came out fighting for their lives. Every game they played was a playoff game. So they hit the bubble hard, and the Lakers did not. And so gearing it up is not easy. I'll say this. I have the Lakers in 5 in this series, and I don't flip-flop, so that was my pre-series prediction. I like the matchup for the Lakers because the Blazers are not a good defensive team, and the Lakers are not right now a good offensive team, but that's the best opportunity to gear it up and to get to where you need to go by playing a team that's not really going to challenge you on that end. And then at the opposite side, Lillard and CJ and all those guys, they're going to challenge the Lakers and make them work defensively. So I expect the Lakers defense to kind of get into shape, and you see the results. I mean, even through the first game and then of course the second, the Blazers are not the Blazers of the bubble. I mean, they've been scoring 120 something points a game. They're not hitting 100 against the Lakers. They're not shooting well against the Lakers. Lakers are doing what they're supposed to do. The caveat I had was that, like, if the Lakers shoot badly, they'll win. Like, they could be a bad shooting team and win. You can't shoot under 20%. I'm not talking bad. I'm talking bad like 30%. I'm not saying, oh, go shoot 15%. You know, come on. I mean, there's a point where it doesn't matter how good you are defensively. If you shoot 2 for 50 from 3, and, you know, I'm exaggerating, but you're gonna lose. You can't beat NBA teams shooting that poorly. So Lakers have to hit some shots. As long as they hit some shots, I'm not saying be the Warriors, right? But just hit some shots. They should be okay.
Can they win and win big if this is the LeBron James we get for the playoffs? You know, playing passive, for lack of a better term, being the facilitator and not being someone who is stepping up saying, get on my shoulders, I'm going to score 40 tonight and go win.
Well, I mean, in game one of the series, he had this monster triple-double. I mean, he was absolutely tremendous. And then in the second game, you know, he's somebody who's going to play the rhythm of the game as it is. I mean, he's a unique superstar, even in his, if this isn't his prime, if we want to look and say what he did in Miami or Cleveland was LeBron in his younger days. And there were times where he really deferred to others. He's an odd superstar, more akin to Magic Johnson than he ever was to, you know, Michael Jordan or Kobe Bryant, where those guys were, I need to take over the game. I'm going to go score 45, 60 points, 80 points, whatever, 81. LeBron is like, all right, I need to take over the game. I'm going to go get 14 assists or 12 assists or I'm gonna, you know, there. But there are times where it's needed, and we've seen LeBron will score 23 straight for his team in his prime. This is a guy who's still, you know, he's a tank. I mean, he's overpowering. He's more physically strong than Magic or MJ or Kobe or any of these all-time guys ever were. I mean, he's basically a guard version of Karl Malone as far as, you know, pure strength. And I think LeBron hasn't looked offensively, his individual offense on point just yet in the bubble. Excuse me, but I think over time, as this thing gets rolling, you know, assuming the Lakers get through the Blazers, I think his game will improve as he gets sharper and really in better shape after all the, he's in amazing shape, but it doesn't matter. You know, there's basketball shape, there's playoff basketball shape, and all these months off, he needs to get himself to where he needs to be.
How concerned would you be if you're Vogel and the Lakers in general, when they don't shoot the three well in this NBA and they don't defend it well? I mean, ultimately, won't that do them in as they go forward?
Well, I mean, they defend the three really well this last game, and defensively, that's where Vogel is concerned. They can't shoot the three. That part is, you know, that's kind of who their identity has been through the year. They haven't been a great shooting team, and when they are, and when they're hitting shots, they pretty much blow teams out by and large because their defense is really, really strong. I mean, that's where Vogel is. That's where he's made his bones as a coach, is as a defensive coach. He's not generally known for being maybe the most imaginative offensive coach, but his teams lock teams down. And we're going to get a chance to see, you know, who he is as a coach after all these years. He was in Indiana where he had great success, but wasn't as successful in Orlando. Now he's in L.A., and he has this opportunity to show how elite he is. And you've got LeBron and AD. The Lakers have a very counter style of playing to the modern era where everybody, for the most part, is going smaller and stocking up on guys to shoot, spreading the floor and just wait, you know, doing what the Rockets do, or at least trying. Whereas the Lakers, they've got big guys. You know, they're playing almost all the time AD with either JaVale or Dwight Howard or AD and Markieff Morris. They're going with bigger guys, and it's not for them. They're happy getting twos. They're happy grinding it out. And I don't know if it's the ideal way to play, but not if, you know, who else has LeBron? Who else has AD? So the Lakers, it might work, but I hope, you know, I mean, obviously Blazers fans, you know, want to advance, but I would love to see the Lakers versus the Rockets. And of course, you know, the Thunder fans don't agree with that either, but to see those two counter styles. I mean, the Lakers are definitely not doing what the Rockets are doing. What wins out? I can't wait to see, you know, if we can get there, what that looks like on the court.
E, right now, who do you have more confidence in seeing them play the first couple of games going forward, Lakers or Clippers?
Let's see here. You know, the Clippers are a better shooting team, and they're not as good defensively as their reputation. And I think some of that has to do with continuity. They've had an odd year in that they've had what, like maybe a dozen or 14 games in that range where they've had their whole roster. It's just been, you know, not unlucky for them, which is, you know, the NBA, that's part of it. They have a more scoring, so they don't necessarily have to rely on their defense as much as the Lakers. When you got Lou Williams and Kawhi and Paul George and, you know, et cetera, they took one bad loss. The Bucks took a bad loss. The Lakers took a bad loss. I'm not going to overstate, you know, these elite teams going 1-1 in the first couple of games. I think the Lakers are very, very powerful defensively, and LeBron has shown, you know, who bets against LeBron? I mean, outside of last year when he was hurt, he always goes to the finals. So it's tough to bet against them. Kawhi is, you know, what he is. He's one of the best players in the league. The Clippers haven't, as an organization, shown that they can do this yet. So there's still something the Clippers need to show me. So I have a little bit more confidence in the Lakers despite their shooting. But I think the Clippers are absolutely a fantastic team, and I still have on track for Lakers, Clippers in the conference finals.
And did you make a championship pick? Like who you thought? I mean, I'm just curious. Did you pick the Lakers to go to the championship or win the championship?
Well, I do have the Lakers playing the Raptors. I don't have the Bucks going to the finals. I have the Heat and the Raptors as real threats to Milwaukee. As much as I love Giannis, and that's a really good team, I think there are some flaws that I think we're starting to see. I do have the Lakers slightly at an advantage over the Clippers. I think what the Lakers are going to do is they're going to target Lou Williams to an extreme where they're not going to be able to play Lou. If the Lakers are able to execute what they want, then the Clippers aren't going to be able to play Lou in the final minutes of games, at least defensively. And that takes away the effectiveness of what Montrezl Harrell is as a scorer, because those two, their chemistry is what is so electric. And so it's really going to be Kawhi and Paul George, and the Clippers are going to have to find other combinations. You know, Patrick Beverley hasn't been healthy. You know, I have some, you know, greater concerns about the health and the continuity of the Clippers. So I do think LeBron, like I said, it's hard to bet against LeBron given his track record. I'm going to go with history and what he's been able to do year after year after year. So I do think the Lakers and the Raptors, I don't think it's a given that the Lakers beat the Raptors, but I'd probably favor them by a very small margin.
Lead Lakers writer, insider for Bleacher Report,
Homer.
Eric Pincus.
You can
you can follow Eric on Twitter at Eric Pincus. That's at Eric Pincus. E as always, buddy. Appreciate it, man. We'll talk
Eric,
to you soon.
Eric, we appreciate
so
it. And you're going to be wrong. I'll bet you 10 chicken wings right now the Lakers don't get to the championship.
All right, throw in some thighs and, you know, we'll talk.
All right, fries and a Diet Coke and we're good to go. You know, you always got to wash it down with a little Diet Coke to make you feel good.
My friend, I appreciate you guys having me.
Thank you, buddy.
Have you ever paid off a bet? I mean, you say you want to bet wings all the time. I have never seen one time somebody eating wings that you bet them that you lost. I think you just make bets and then just forget about them.
Well, I don't forget about it. I usually win. That's what makes it good. Shannon Sharp lost 300 wings to me. The bet was, Jason, that the Cavaliers and LeBron would get swept. Do you remember that year after Kyrie? I bet that. Of course, anybody thought, Shannon said, well, of course they're going to win one game. They have LeBron James. No way the NBA is going to let it be a sweep, and it was a sweep. And I bet local L.A. TV legend Fred Rogan 600 wings that the Lakers wouldn't make the playoffs last year, and he lost 600 wings.
Right,
me,
but these are bets that you won. There's bets that you've lost, and I've never seen anybody saying, "Oh, I got my wings from Rob Parker." You have not, the lawyer commercials. Oh, I got my big settlement check from the law firm of Larry H. Parker. Yeah, I've not seen one person go, and Rob Parker paid up wings, and I got to eat him. It was fantastic.
I did. Rodney Pete, the former quarterback, Rodney Pete.
Uh huh.
Yes, he did beat me on a wings bet.
Okay.
And,
all right. Very
so
good.
I did pay up. I did.
All right. Because I'm going to collect as more time that goes on, I feel awesome about my Rockets Heat pick for the NBA Finals in the bubble. They're both playing so well. They have everything that's needed. It's going to be a weird year. There's going to be a lot of unforeseen. I'm feeling good about Rockets and the Heat, and I'm thinking maybe the wings that you already owe me, we can go double or nothing on. And maybe get from 10 to 20 on it.
I'm all in. Let's do it.
All right. Because, you've already lost once. What is it if you lose again, right?
And I will pay up if I do lose or it'll be nothing. And I'm feeling real good because, you know, you're going outside the box. You're going more so, I mean, like your pick, I like it. I like it. It is outside the box, but it's Meshuggah when it comes to the NBA playoffs. It ain't happening.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Fox Sports Radio, the Dan Patrick Show. Jason Smith, Rob Parker, in for Dan and the Danettes today. They're back on Monday. A bit of news coming in right now from the NBA. The Jazz are going to get Mike Conley back for Game 3 as he is passed all his COVID-19 testing. Remember, he left the bubble to be with his family for the birth of his son. He has cleared quarantine, going to be in the lineup for Game 3 against the Nuggets. He will be back. He will start this series tied at one game apiece. Meanwhile, a big story out of the NFL today here, Rob. And look, I know your feelings about Tom Brady, how much you love him, think how great he is. You and him, you guys hang out. You wear the TB12 pajamas and all kinds of great stuff. There's a lot of attention the past few days on the situation in New England with Cam Newton now competing for the starting quarterback job. And you had Bill Belichick say the other day when he was asked about, can you platoon both guys? He said, I'm not ruling that out. Today, Julian Edelman said, listen, the quarterback competition has great new energy. Cam Newton is working his butt off and things are all awesome in New England. Are you buying this, that things are great in New England and no Brady and here's Cam and the competition is great and it's working out just like we all thought it was going to?
Well, I mean, they were ready to move on. Obviously, they didn't offer him a contract. So, I mean, I don't think there's any love lost. Like, if they really wanted Tom Brady back, they could have figured it all out, right? But Tom Brady didn't have any offers. What offers were there really for him? Other than Tampa Bay paying the bad team tax to sign a 50-year-old quarterback or whatever it is. I mean, I'm just being honest.
Not 50.
43, okay. In NFL years, he's 50 to me. How's that, you know?
You signed a 50-year-old quarterback.
But my point is that, I think people diss Cam, who was injured for the most part. He's not an old guy who didn't play well and was completely healthy. And Stidham, I guess, has been struggling in these competition. I don't believe in a platoon. When they always say when you have two girlfriends, that means that neither one is really great. That's why you have two. So it's always about having one quarterback. I believe Cam will win that job. If he's healthy, the Patriots will be in the mix in the AFC least. I think they'll be in the mix. I know they've lost, seven players to the COVID who have opted out, three starters, which hurt, Jason, no doubt about it. But I'm expecting a bounce-back year. Josh McDaniels with a guy like Cam. This is a former NFL MVP who still has years to go. If Tom Brady can play at 43, there's no reason why Cam Newton still can't play. So I'm interested in what's going to happen in New England. I'm not ruling out. And imagine if Bill Belichick's able to win the AFC least with Cam Newton at quarterback this year, it'll say something about what he does. Now, if they fall on their face and Tom Brady goes to the playoffs, then it's a different narrative. But if they are competitive and are able to make the playoffs with Cam Newton, I think that'll be a feather in the cap for Bill Belichick.
See, I'm on the other side. Cam hasn't been great since 2015. It's been 5 years. It's been 5 years for Cam Newton. Yes, he's been hurt, and anytime something has gone on, any kind of controversy, he was enabled in Carolina because he was the franchise. That's not going to happen in New England. And suddenly to think Cam's going to suddenly be great in this new environment where he's going to be held accountable for everything. Remember, this is a guy that wouldn't jump on a fumble in the Super Bowl. You know, making a business decision, I'm not going to do it. I don't see how this plays out for Cam Newton and the Patriots in a positive way. And no matter what you think of the Patriots and going forward, you know, how good they're going to be, is that I still come back to the whole tanking thing that hangs over the Patriots, right? Are the Patriots tanking? Are they not? There's a lot of evidence that can tell you they are. And at the worst, they're tanking. At best, they're not really trying to win this season. You know, because Belichick, without Tom Brady, they
so
did not
why
go
bother
out.
With Cam Newton? You could have just
because
had a rookie
is the
and
cover.
Stidham.
Because
well, how
is
that? How
this is the cover for tanking? We signed Cam Newton. I mean, of course, we're trying to win. We signed Cam Newton. Nobody else wanted Cam Newton. Anybody else could have had him at any time. And the Patriots
nobody else
him,
wanted Tom Brady.
And the Patriots are giving him no money. He was out there so late. Nobody wanted Cam Newton. But they signed him. This is their cover saying, well, of course we're trying to win. He may not make it to week one, let alone out, make it to the Pro Bowl and win games with the Patriots. They didn't go out and sign anybody in free agency. They let all of their big players go. All their draft picks are projects. You know, their first pick was a D2 safety. You know, the first post Tom Brady pick. Belichick, at best, is trying to show I can win with nobody. All right, that's the best case scenario for the Patriots. I'm going to show you the genius I am. I'm going to try to win with absolutely nobody, because they didn't try to make the team better at all in the offseason. They lost Tom Brady. They let other guys go. They all went to Miami, basically. So that's the best case scenario, is they're trying to show we can win with nobody. They're not putting forth the effort that most teams are to say we're going to try to win this year. And at worst is they're saying, listen, we're going to tank, have a really high pick in the draft, get Trevor Lawrence, get a quarterback, and then I'm going to coach for 10 or 12 years. I'm reinvigorated, and I'm going to show you and win this. I'm going to win this war with Tom Brady, who's got 1 or 2 years left at most, about getting to the playoffs and trying to make hay, where I'm going to show you for the next 10 or 12 years I can do it with somebody else eventually when we get that quarterback.
Yeah, I'm not buying into that. I hear what you're talking about. There's moves that maybe weren't made. I don't think you have to bring in Cam Newton. You had Stidham there. If you really believed in him and he's a young quarterback, you could have just gone with that. That to me would have been the sign that you're not trying to do anything, and not to sign a former NFL MVP who took his team to the Super Bowl, was 15-1, who's playing for his career. I mean, you don't bring in a guy, he's playing for his career. So I think Cam Newton has something to prove. And what would it be if they do win the NFC and the AFC East and somehow make it to the playoffs again? I mean, I get the Jets where they finished last year. I'm not so sure where they're going. I get Buffalo again. But to say that New England is totally out of it and can't win in that division, I'm not there yet until Cam Newton, a healthy Cam Newton, shows me he can't play. And I think it's been totally unfair the way people have painted Cam Newton from the standpoint that he's finished because he was hurt. If he was healthy and played the way he played, I would buy it. I remember one of the last national games I watched him. He couldn't even throw the football. He was so hurt and banged up. So I want to see Cam healthy. And if Cam is healthy and can't play, then I'll buy into your idea that he's finished. But I'm not there yet. I still believe he has a lot more football to go, and he's not washed up.
Today's show brought to you by Mercedes AMG, the Dan Patrick Show. Jason Smith, Rob Parker, in for Dan and the Danettes. All right, now that's our next wing bet. That's our next wing bet. I will take from you. What do you want to do, Brady and the Bucks versus Cam and the Patriots? What do you want to do there? That's our next big bet.
I'll bet is just I'm telling you that the Bucks aren't going to make the playoffs. Plain and simple.
I'll take that. I'll take the Bucks in the playoffs. Oh, absolutely.
You also had the Browns. You had the Browns in the playoffs last year too, didn't you?
No, I didn't. I didn't have the Browns in the playoffs last year.
Everybody was sending them to the Super Bowl last year after the OBJ trade. Don't you remember?
No.
Do you remember all the talk about the Browns? Okay, what about everybody else in NFL America? They all bought it. Hook, line, and sinker. I'm not one of those guys. No Bucks in the playoffs. It's going to be a baker's dozen, 13 years, of not making the playoffs.
Oh, that's going to be the easiest 10 wings I ever got. This will be Brady's best year. And it'll be 10 or 11 wins in the playoffs. Oh, I'm going to enjoy that. Fox Sports Radio, Dan the Danettes are back on Monday, Fox.